Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Pneumaticost. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled, We Must Surrender Our Thinking to the Lordship of Jesus. There is a Greek preposition called dei, D-E-I. And it is used in a very, very important manner in the Greek New Testament. The preposition de means it is necessary in the nature of the case. Both the Old Testament documents and the New Testament documents are the result of the thinking of God. And in none of these documents are we told that God is dependent upon human thinking or human cognition or the human cognitive faculty or the executive functioning, or human intelligence, or human understanding. The biblical documents present a divine viewpoint thinking. I'm going to be reading from the book of Acts, chapter 9, beginning at verse 32. Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 32. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. It is imperative to understand that God proclaimed, Yahweh Elohim proclaimed, in the book of Isaiah, which some have called the fifth gospel, interestingly enough, God has said, I am doing a new thing. In Jeremiah 31, God talks about putting a new heart into his people. It is this conversation that God had with Nicodemus in John 3, the teacher of Israel, the Pharisee, who was compelled by the evidence that Jesus presented through his messianic public ministry that he was indeed the one who should come, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. So this individual was compelled to go and speak with Jesus by night. This was indeed a radical thing, to want to have this type of meeting with the Lord. Nicodemus had a genuine encounter with Jesus. He repented. He changed his thinking about his destiny, which is the real meaning of the term repentance. He had a change of heart, a change of mind about the road he was upon. And it was through a genuine encounter, a genuine first-person encounter with Jesus, that persuaded him to change and receive Jesus as the anointed one of God and his Savior, his Yeshua. The book of Joshua in the Old Testament in Hebrew is Yeshua. The book of Yeshua. In Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 32, the Apostle Peter, the word apostle means sent by, one who is sent on a mission. Peter had come down, and I love this term. It is used both in the Old and the New Testament. And Peter, he had came down all sorts of just things that dwelt that meta. Now, this was a very interesting town. This town was located 9 miles from Joppa. And note carefully the language. He came down also to the saints that dwelt at Lydda. And so the name Lydda here means strife. And it also means bitter conflict. Lydda also means heated or violent struggle. It also means fight. Does that sound familiar? We have a town in our country today that could be called Lydda or strife. See, embedded within the Word of God are everything or all the experiences that are indigenous to the human condition. So this town is called Lydda or strife. And note the word dwelt, which is a present active participle. That is, which means to settle down, they dwelt. And notice, the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there, in verse 33, we're told that he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of a palsy. Aeneas had a very wonderful name. His name meant laudable or worthy of praise. And the event that placed him up on his bed the circumstances around that event that eventuated in his illness are not given to us, or it's not given to us. We're not told this information. We're not given this background information. And so we don't know what led up to this condition. So, and this word palsy we find also in the Gospels, and it essentially means weakened, in a weakened state, or unstrong, unstrong of limb. And so he was bedridden for 8 years. It is always important to note that the scriptures, for instance, in John 5, the man who was at the well of at Bethesda, this individual was bound for 38 years. There is a woman in Luke's gospel that had been bound by Satan, we're told, for 18 years. There was the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman who had been demonized for a long time. There was the son of an individual who had also been demonized, and this particular demon would cast this young person into the fire and would cause him to have severe epileptic seizures. There is also the case of a little lad who had died, whose grief-stricken father had come to the ages for help. And Jesus said to this grief-stricken father, "She is not dead." And those who heard the words of Jesus laughed him to scorn. This father, this grief-stricken father, was at the boundaries. And Jesus met him there. And Jesus went with him. Jesus went into the room where the little girl lay. And he said, "Little lamb, arise." Jesus is not bound by our limitations. Our thinking and what passes for thinking in our culture is very limited. If an individual can memorize a great deal of passive information, or as one professor marked it, dead information, then he is or she is believed to be highly intelligent. If one can regurgitate old passive data onto tests, then he or she are the top student. Scripture has a different view of intelligence and what that means. We see intelligence in the activity of Peter. And we know now at this point that Peter has become a bond servant of the aces, that is, one whose will is swallowed up in the will of another. That is the meaning of the term slave or servant of Jesus Christ that these individuals will use in their writings. to be a bond servant means that one has surrendered his thinking. It means that one has surrendered her thinking. It means to surrender one's thinking about one's life. It means to have one's own thinking with its limitations swallowed up by the will of God. There is a willing surrender or giving over. A willingness to give up one's limitations. Peter went down to Lydda. He went down to strife. He went down into strife. And he found Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years. And because Peter's thinking had been swallowed up in the will of the aces, notice the statement that he utters in verse 4. Quote, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole, or Anea, Jesus, ho Christos, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Anointed One, maketh thee whole. Our salvation is holistic. Our salvation is complete. The words of Peter are not pregnant with possibility. The words of Peter are pregnant with actuality. The words of Peter are pregnant with the new reality in Christ. The words of Peter are pregnant with God's new thing. God said, I am doing a new thing. God has said, if anyone is in Christ, he is new creation. That is qualitatively new. Qualitatively new. Our salvation is qualitatively fresh, ever to remain so. The thinking of Peter is not vapid or ineffectual or ineffective. The thinking of Peter is not weighed down by cultural limitations. The thinking of Peter is not weighed down by the thinking of the great rabbis of the Talmud or the Mishnah. The words of Peter are not limited or weighed down by the thinking of the Hellenists or the Greek philosophers. The thinking of Peter is not weighed down by the Greek mystery religion. Peter has pierced through the veil, the thin veil of human understanding. He understands that all men are but breath. And he speaks to Aeneas the words of the living Christ. Jesus himself said, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Paul noted in Romans 1 how that there are evil ones who seek to repress this knowledge of the salvation that God has in Christ Jesus. Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise. Arise is the great word of victory in this passage. Arise is the great word that is used throughout the book of Acts. It is the same word that is used for the resurrection of Jesus himself. Anastasis nekron. To stand up again. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul writes to the believing ones, stand up again out from death. Because their lives had become vapid and weighed down. Their lives had become ineffective. So Paul wrote, stand up again. And here, this word arise is the term of the great term of resurrection. It is a radical term. To stand up again. To stand out from death. The power of God. The understanding of who God is contained in this one great word, the word of resurrection. When Jesus stood at the grave of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he said to those standing by, because Lazarus was covered with a grave cloth. He said, loose him and let him go. Jesus had met Lazarus, Martha, and Mary at their boundaries. And he took them beyond the limitations of human thinking. Yes, Lord, I know at the resurrection he will come forth again, Jesus said. He that believeth in me, he who believes that I am the resurrection and the life. I see marvelous things. God meets us where we are, then God takes us beyond our limitations. This is why we must surrender our thinking to the Lordship of Christ. Because our thinking keeps us on this side of resurrection. Our thinking that our culture imposes upon us is filled with limitations. We have inherited a cultural naturalism that tells us that the supernatural does not exist. And we must put aside the supernatural claims of the Word of God. We must put aside the supernatural claims of the Scriptures. Because these things are not so. Jesus has told us that men love the darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But arise takes us out of the realm of so-called human naturalism. Our culturally imposed understanding of reality. The culture wants us merely to be consumers, to consume the culture, to consume the values of the culture, to consume the beliefs of the culture. Arise, Aeneas, and make thy bed, and notice. And he arose immediately. He arose immediately. Aorist indicative. This adverb, immediately, is used prominently in the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, the Son of Man, the aces moves at a feverish pace. Mark's Gospel is the Gospel of the servant. Notice verse 35, and all that dwelt at Lydda, notice the language, dwelt at Lydda. We have that phrase in verse 32, and now we have it in verse 35, and all that dwelt at Lydda. And now we have a new town, Sharon, saw him and turned to the Lord. Jesus is the rose of Sharon. He is the lily of the valley. Sharon is a level region located around Caesarea of Palestine. It is a level region from Caesarea of Palestine to Joppa, abounding in good pasture and fertility. In verse 34, Aeneas, Jesus Christ, maketh thee whole. The word whole means to cure or to heal. It also means to free from errors and sins and to bring about salvation. So it is true, the thinking of God in Peter, that Aeneas, that is laudable, even though he lives at Lydda or dwells at Lydda for strife, bitter conflict, heated violent struggle, he now understands the peace of God. God uses this life, this laudable, wonderful Aeneas. And because individuals at Lydda saw him, they turned to the Lord. Ferguson needs to meet the aces. Ferguson needs healing. Ferguson is a type of our country who is in desperate need of healing. Indeed, our entire country is Lydda, is strife, is heated, is filled conflict and struggle. There is one who offers salvation to all, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the one who brings salvation to all. He is the one who's currently walking through Ferguson as he walked through the Lydda and heal Aeneas. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. God bless you.